Blog Talk Radio.
Hey yo, it's E Complete. I'm back up in this team. My second album, True Speaker. This track right here is crazy. I'm back.
Cause I knew Santa Claus couldn't save my soul. If you had the cars that I had to hold since I was 9 years old, trust me when I tell you, the next year it fold. More than just bold, bullets over Broadway. It went down the Harlem Broadway. Pops were shot.
Hey everybody, it's Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
Yo, it's Tay, Eric Taylor, and welcome to our show. Yeah, we're here on a big NFL Monday. And I just want to let you know, if you want to call in, you know, I'll give you the information on how to get to us. For guests to call in, it's 718-664-9098. We're on from 5 to 6 Eastern today, 718-664-9098. You can check us out on Facebook. You can like us at Ray and Tay Today. You can follow us at Twitter, Ray and Tay Today, and that's RAE. ANDTAY today. And then also Blog Talk, or you got, if you want to shoot us an email, it's rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. All right, so, you know, just look out for us. We're going to be here Wednesday and Friday, the 12th and the 14th, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, so look out for us, all right?
All right, let me give you a little preview of the show today. We're going to talk about this great opening Sunday of football, NFL football. We're going to talk about our champs and chumps for this past Sunday's games, our fantasy standouts. We'll make a little transition to the U.S. Open, which is in progress right now. Talk a little bit about
the men's and the women's final.
Yeah. Talk about Serena yesterday and then Djokovic Murray today. And then we'll finish up with a preview of the Monday night game, Cincinnati, Baltimore, and San Diego, Oakland.
Let's go, Cincy.
You didn't really just say that, did you?
Come on, man. My studio is lost. I'm upset.
Well, we'll get to that, too. So first, let me start with a shout-out, birthday shout-out to our co-host, Tay. Woo! It's your birthday.
Yeah, man. Today's the big day. Shout out to Mom Duke, Cheryl Ann Taylor, and William Kid Taylor, who made me 11:59 a.m. Just bloop, came on out September 10th, 1970. 42. This is my Jackie Robinson year, for those who know. You know what I'm saying? Jackie and Mariano. This is my that's what's popping off. But, yo, on a comedy note, we're talking about, you know, get into football. So we have at ESPN, you guys can go to Pigskin Pick'em. And you can make your weekly picks and go to, you know, join a group, Ray and Tate Today. So there's about a couple, you know, 14, 20, I don't know, a bunch of people in our league right now picking with us and against Ray and Tate. And right now, my mom, who made her picks, and I'm talking about after dementia and brain cancer, and, you know, my mom is no joke, man. But my mom is in first place. Cheryl Taylor is in first place. And my three-year-old son, William, is in third place.
That
so that's comedy right there. That,
yeah,
that puts
exactly.
It all in perspective, see.
Yeah, you throw about monkey and throwing up on a dartboard. Well, yeah, we're not doing really well. But we still got 16 more weeks to go. So with the buys and everything, yeah, it's a 17-week season. So we'll make up for it. We'll make up for it. Trust us. We know what we're talking about sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. You know, anybody can, you know, get into it and make picks. And, you know, it's just all for fun. And we'll see who wins first place. And, you know, Ray and Tay will hook up a little prize and stuff. But, you know what, let's hey. We broke down the show. Let's break down week one. We're going to break into, get into a couple of, you know, top five or six games. And, of course, we got to start off with my heartbreak. Yesterday, I thought I might get an early birthday present. But my Pittsburgh Steelers went to a hostile Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning, Sunday night. No Ryan Clark, my starting free safety because of the sickle cell trade. And I wanted them to win. I predicted them to win. But, see, it was just too much. We played okay. We had opportunities, but, you know, Demaryius Thomas with the pass
again,
and breaking it. And
tackle this guy.
I'm sick of him. I'm sick of Demaryius Thomas. I don't talk about that cat no more. It's just disgusting. But they didn't really – McGahee didn't really run on us. Moreno got that touchdown, but they didn't get a lot of yardage. I think, you know, Manning just drove and got key first downs, and when we were getting ready to try to drive, Terry Porter, like he did to Manning in the Super Bowl, he picked off Big Ben and took it to the house.
So as a Steeler fan, are you upset about this game, or can you live with this one?
I can live with this one because in my heart of hearts, I didn't expect, without Ryan Clark and going into, you know, Manning, Sunday night,
Harris.
Denver, I kind of thought we could lose this game. But we got to beat the Jets next week in Pittsburgh. So that's a whole other conversation. We'll get into that on, you know, Friday. But the Steelers can't start off 0-2. We definitely got to beat the Jets at home. But I do like some positive things. You know, Jonathan Dwyer looks good. Heath Miller's looking fresh and young. Our new offense, we're not holding on to the ball as long as we used to with Todd Haley now at the offensive coordinator. And Bruce Arians going on to be with Andrew Luck in Indianapolis. So I like, you know, Mendenhall will be back sooner than later. We originally thought week eight. Looks like it might be week two or three. So that's good news. Redmond and Dwyer didn't look bad. And Mike Wallace got a touchdown. And Antonio Brown looks good. And Sanders had a decent game. So, you know.
So what you're saying is the glass is half full because you're a Steeler fan.
Well, I mean, look, you tell me watching the game. I mean, I don't think the Steelers look bad.
No, you're right. I don't think they look bad at all. But the Steelers are at a different level, right? They want to contend for an AFC championship. So they've got to contend with Baltimore in their own division, and then let alone Houston and the New England Patriots and whoever comes out of the AFC West, that's wide open. So
yeah,
I'm just saying, good enough is not good enough for Pittsburgh.
Right, and we could just say we're going to break down a bunch of games. We don't need to talk about what the Texans did to Miami and the Patriots to Tennessee. They just roll and look good. So that's just as simple as that, you know.
Yeah. So let's talk about RG3 for a minute. So we both
That Redskins Saints game.
Yeah, we both thought New Orleans was going to win. I thought they were going to win big. I thought that RG3 going into New Orleans after the guys just got the reprieve from the court. I just thought that it was just not going to be RG3's day. But, wow, did he prove me wrong.
Right, and I thought it would be closer. But I got to be honest, you know, remember I said, watch out, don't sleep on them. But I just didn't know that they would be so dominant. He starts out 11 for 11. I mean, it was impressive. The guy had no picks. He didn't look rattled. I mean, we had Garcon, Moss, Fred Davis, Aldrick Robinson, and then the running back, Alfred Morris. The Redskins, they look versatile and tough. I mean, they really look like they're going to cause some havoc this year in the NFC East. It was fascinating to watch. In New Orleans, hey, they look flustered. They really did. I mean, forget the score. They came back at the end and tried to make it a little bit closer, but they dominated the game. You know, let's not get it twisted. Redskins won pretty handily.
Yeah, you never thought at any point that the Redskins were going to lose that game. I mean, you're always fearful that the Saints will come back on you, but the Redskins were in control from jump, and they lost Pierre Garcon in the first quarter, and even still were driving the ball, and they let RG3 in the beginning. They held him back, and they really kept it simple and kept everything close to the line of scrimmage, but they let him loose. They let him make some critical plays down the stretch, and he delivered. Wow, are they happy that they made that pick, that they made that trade. With the St. Louis Rams.
Listen, you can never overvalue a starting number one quarterback. So whatever they gave up, it was worth it, i.e., just like if you get potentially what the Falcons did 2 years ago to trade and get a number one receiver. Because let me tell you, quietest cap, Julio Jones might be the next Calvin Johnson. He is a problem, and he's going to be a number one receiver. He's a beast.
Well, it's funny because Roddy White a couple years ago was considered to be a top three or four receiver himself, and now they're both up there. They might be the best receiving tandem in the game. You throw in there a Tony Gonzalez who can still play, a Matt Ryan with a nice arm. They've got a nice – I'm telling you, that Atlanta Falcons team, don't sleep on them.
No, I'm not. I think Matt Ryan is ready to take it to the next level, and I could see him, you know, he was the number one fantasy stud of the week. So, I mean, you know, hey, it's going to be fascinating to see what's going to happen with the Falcons. And maybe, like you predicted, that they overtake the Saints for the division. I still have the Saints,
Yeah, I got the Falcons winning that. And especially because that home field advantage, both teams have a decent home field advantage. I just think that the Saints are susceptible this year. They lose focus a little bit. They got that head coach transition again in the middle of the season, and is it? And after the game, they said it's still Sean Payton's team. How are you going to say it's still Sean Payton's team when Sean Payton's theoretically at home? So I don't know. I see.
Well, I think it's mental and emotional. I think his hand. He left. I'm sure he left detailed instructions. They're not just winging it on their own. They're following his teachings, his beliefs, his formats of how to run the team. I just think, you know, in gameplay, you're not going to have Sean Payton's hand on it, and that's where they get hurt, not having the head coach.
He's the offensive wizard there, yeah, sure.
Yeah, but I do think losing this game actually might help the Saints, you know? I think it might help them because it might cause them just to focus a little bit more. I actually think this was exactly what they needed, what the doctor ordered. So we'll see what happens. You know, we'll definitely see what happens.
Let's move on to that Jet-Buffalo game.
Woo,
Jets.
Hey, listen, we both thought Buffalo would do it because, you know, you don't put too much credence in preseason, right? But the Jets just looked awful. And guys weren't healthy in preseason. Keller didn't really come in and play. I mean, there was no reason for us to think the Jets were going to do what they did. Forget the final score, 48-28. Most of it was 41-14. They smacked Buffalo in the throat. Buffalo Bills got smacked in the throat. You understand? I mean, it was crazy. Give big kudos to Sanchez. It wasn't nothing about Tim Tebow. We don't even have to mention his name for the rest of the show, except for the first play of the game. He was like a wide receiver / fullback and went out for a pass. But big
you do give Tebow the credit in a backdoor way because he's a threat. And what they did was they kept saying, oh, the Wildcat, the Tebow, whatever you're going to call it, the single back option.
Brad, yeah.
Tebow, what he did, I'm sure, in Buffalo was cause them to get distracted during practice and think about how to defend Tebow. They probably looked at tape at him in Denver, and they looked at Tony Sparano's offense in Miami, and they wasted, you know, 15-20% of the practice time probably thinking about what Tebow could do because they probably, like everybody else, saw the Jets' ineptitude on offense and said, these guys are horrible. They must be holding back something, and they're going to show it in week one, and that probably helped the Jets, you know, and Tebow comes on the...
Yeah, no, definitely. But I was going to say, the one thing that we do know is that Fitzpatrick has had bad games against the Jets the last four or five times, and Sanchez has played well. So that's one thing we kind of ignore. You know, Revis, you know, got a little banged up and, you know, had a concussion. He's okay. And, by the way, Garcon's going to be okay. He'll be ready to play next week. But David Nelson, the wide receiver, the number two receiver in Buffalo, he got a torn ACL. He's out for the season. So that's always sad to hear. And Fred Jackson got hurt. That was a great shot. Oh, my gosh, what a hit. But
but I don't know. I guess. I didn't like that hit by Landry, but luckily
Landry. Let me tell you one thing, though. The Jets got a little tougher. Landry and Jeremiah Bell, they're going to deliver some pain in the back in the secondary with the Jets. We got some safeties that. Yeah,
I just want them
to
be smart and not to deliver a 15-yard personal foul.
No, you're right, but we got some safeties that are going to deliver some punishment, which is good to see for the Jets. It looks like their defense is going to be, you know, back in effect, and, hey, Sean Green did good, but how about Stephen Hill and Curley? That was a surprise, and a nice surprise.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
sure. Antonio Holmes.
I mean,
was,
yeah, he had a you – know, and that catch
okay,
in the end zone
that
was ruled out of bounds, what a play by him, though, to catch it, and his toes were like – ooh, they were so close. It's just his hand had touched before that second toe.
Yeah, he thought it was the Super Bowl again.
I know. Antonio is good. Yo, he's good. We'll give him credit. He's not a number one anymore, but he's
good, not great.
He's solid. He's definitely solid. But, you know, all kudos to Sanchez and the Jets, but they're going to have a rough way to go next week, and the reality will strike when they go to Pittsburgh. So we'll see what happens. But they took back the New York headlines on the positive. They're like, hey, we're not clowns, you know. So that, you know, they fight that off for at least another week. So now we can break down.
Yeah, let's move on to what Fox was calling the Fox National Game of the Week.
Oh, yeah. Freaking awesome.
San Francisco 49ers at the Green Bay Packers.
Did I pick it? I told you the Niners were going to win, and they did. I got to tell you, man, that defense, wow. And, hey, kudos, our man is back, one of the best receivers ever. Randy Moss got a touchdown. He looked good. He looks alive. He's a part of the
offense.
Well,
you know what's funny is that they're so conservative on offense. I mean, look, you're nitpicking here, right? But they're so conservative on offense. And if you listen to the broadcast, Aikman kept saying, go to Moss. Moss has a single coverage. And they only used him in about a quarter of the offensive plays. So I feel like they can be even more explosive. And they will be.
It takes time and the confidence. Alex Smith, he's still a glorified game manager, but I think he's getting more and more confidence. And you know what? Harbaugh played it right. I told you, he's going to be coach of the year, man. He's something else. And that's why I got the Niners winning the Super Bowl. As I got a text Sunday morning from my boy Oren with his Niners jersey. But it's the reality is this running game, this defense, the tight end, the quarterback, the receivers, it's fallen into place.
They don't have a weakness. It's one of those teams that just doesn't have a weakness. That their only weakness, if you can call it that, is that Alex Smith is not explosive and isn't a huge playmaker. But the depth that they have at running back, and now if Michael Crabtree steps up and becomes the player that he was at Texas Tech, and, of course, Moss and Manningham and Vernon Davis. I mean, he's got explosive players around him. And you know, Alex Smith was a gunslinger at Utah. People forget in that Urban Meyer offense. But they don't have a weakness. It's weird to see a team in this day and age that doesn't have a weakness. I mean,
Wait. I got to say a quick little thing. Did you say Utah? Shout out to Utah State, my almost alma mater for my master's. You know, I got two A's and a B, took a couple of graduate courses with Utah State, baby, online, the Aggies. Let me tell you, why you acting all Aggie? Utah State beat Utah on Friday night, and I was representing hard. And my Terps won on Saturday, but that's enough of that. I just had to digress for a moment. I'm sorry.
There you go. Let it all out. It's your birthday.
Let it all out, baby.
You can do it. It's your day.
It's my birthday. You can do it.
There you go. All right. Well, let's move on to the last game of the spot, the highlighted five, and that's.
Before we jump to that, real quick. Aaron Rodgers didn't. Yeah, he threw for 300, but the Packers didn't look so great. They couldn't run. Seti B, our man, couldn't do much. And Aaron Rodgers, he kind of got outplayed, if you're being honest.
That's okay. He played 15 of the best games you'll ever see last year and deserved. Think about this. He got MVP because he was 15-0 in the same year that Brady, Stafford, and Breeze all threw for 5,000 yards, two of whom broke Dan Marino's record, and Aaron Rodgers still got MVP last year. So I guess what I'm saying is, don't worry, Aaron Rodgers.
No, he's the man. I'm not saying
that. That defense needs to get it together. But Aaron Rodgers, even in a bad game, you know, had what they – he had 300 yards, 22 points, although seven of those were special teams. So he'll be fine. I think they came out a little flat. I think they're not in full season, mid-season form. And I think that San Francisco, certainly the team doesn't have any weakness, but definitely that defense doesn't have any weakness.
He lost that chess match against the Niners defense because they scored a lot towards the end, but – going into the fourth, man, you know, they had 7 points. They were on lockdown for a while.
Yeah. But they have tape to review, and I guess if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, you could take solace in the fact that better this happen now in week one, and if this indeed is a rematch of, you know, a rematch in the NFC Championship, maybe even held at Lambeau, but maybe held over in San Francisco at Candlestick Park – this might be good for them to have, just like you said, for the Steelers, this might be good for the Packers to get slapped in the mouth a little bit, to realize that they're not as tough as they need to beat teams like the Giants and the Packers, and then to come out swinging in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. Now, breaking down our last game of all the major games, and you know what, there was a whole bunch of games. I mean, T and I, you know, we're just, you know, taking out, you know, the top most, you know, interesting games. I mean, obviously you had Minnesota and AP and Maurice Drew and all these cats, but let's talk about the rookie quarterback, the number one pick, Andrew Luck, going up against the Bears. And wow, the Jay Cutler, he started off rough.
But what was he, 1-for-12 or something like that?
And wait, and they couldn't even, they just couldn't even move it. And then he was fumbling. He got sacked on the first play. By the way, Dwight Freeney got injured, and he'll be probably day-to-day. Might miss next week, but it shouldn't be anything too major. But Mathis came in the first play and just ate Cutler's lunch, and I was like, uh-oh, the Colts are awake. But how about Brandon Marshall, who dropped like 2 touchdowns and 2 other passes, but he got busy.
9 catches for 119. He's a workhorse.
Oh, I know.
He's going to lead the league in, probably lead the league in receptions, maybe not in yards, but he's just, he's Jay Cutler's security blanket. He's his Linus. He's his
blanket. Also, my man who I told you about to look out for, Alshon Jeffrey, everybody. I told you on Friday. The rookie had a good game.
3-for-80, your boy Alshon.
Yeah, he looked good. He looked 3-for-80, right? The touchdown. Pass was beautiful. Cutler can make every throw on the field. Two guys that, you know, you'll never question their arms are Phillip Rivers and Jay Cutler. They got cannons, and they can make every throw. But definitely the Bears look good. Their defense looked pretty good. Andrew Luck has got a lot to improve on, but I think him and Donald Brown and Reggie Wayne – I think the Colts, you know, they'll be okay. I just think at the end of the day, it's gonna be a long year. You know, I don't think
think in Indianapolis people expect anything different. But here's the thing: if you're a Luck fan, you say to yourself, you know what? It's exactly what Peyton Manning did: 300 yards in his first game, only completed 50% of his passes, which is a little bit troublesome. But 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions, showed the poise of a starting NFL quarterback. There were a couple quarterbacks out there that really didn't. But he's got, you know, he's got some toys on the outside, Wayne and Fleener and Avery. And then if Austin Collie comes back and shakes off those concussions, that's a decent receiving core for a first-year quarterback. I mean, think about what Sam Bradford, who's now in his third year, has to deal with, and think about what Andrew Luck has on offense. And even though, you know, Steven Jackson, all due respect to him, at the running back position, but Sam Bradford has nothing. And at least Luck has some tools. I'd love to see them run a little bit more. Donald Brown only had 9 carries, and they only ran the ball 15 times. Now, granted, they were down starting in the second half for most of the second half, so that lends itself to a lot of passes. So he did throw 45 times. But I'm not worried if I'm Indianapolis. I think I'm happy with my Andrew Luck. If you're a glasses-half-empty guy, you'll say he underthrew a couple of passes. Maybe we have some questions about his arm strength. He's not Jay Cutler. Or Phillip Rivers, but I look at it as a positive. I mean, look, we lost a little bit of perspective, right? We forgot about the Cade McNowns and the Tim Couches and the Jamarcus Russells and those guys for a while, because last year
rough names there, boy.
Yeah, because last year with Cam Newton and Andy Dalton, we said,
Joey Harrington.
Joey Harrington, never liked him.
Achilles
Even when
Smith.
They put that big sign up, remember that, by Madison Square Garden, Joey Harrington,
yep.
Oregon.
And Achilles Smith,
number 2 pick in the draft. But we got a little bit caught up in the moment thinking, oh, okay, we got rookie quarterbacks. They should step in and do work. Now, granted, RG3 did great. Andrew Luck did well. Good, I should say.
Well, and Locker hurt, separated his shoulder, and he'll be okay, probably play next week if it's not his throwing arm.
But it's hard in the NFL as a rookie.
It's rough. You know, the Patriots look good against him. It's rough. Brandon Whedon looked horrible. And actually, Russell Wilson looked decent, but, you know, the Cardinals pulled it out and Cobb at the end. But, He didn't play bad. I think they ran the ball a lot and messed up his rhythm, but Russell Wilson looked really – he looked confident. He looked good.
Yeah, so I think the NFL's in good hands when it comes to these rookie quarterbacks. I mean, I think Whedon and Tannehill, although they say the way they like the way Tannehill looked, Whedon, I don't know.
Tannehill looked nervous in the pocket. He had some sloppy mistakes. He looked good in preseason and on Hard Knocks and an attractive wife and all, but – nah, he wasn't looking so great.
Come on.
Nah, I'm just saying, man. They were trying to hype that up. Hyping that up, man. But let me tell you, I'd go to Matt Moore.
I like Matt Moore.
I like Matt Moore.
I picked him up last year on fantasy, and I like
him
in real football too.
So, well, that's the perfect segue. We're about to take a little break, and when we get back, we're going to get into sort of the champs and chumps. What up, chump? What up, chump? I'm the champ. I'm the greatest of all time. So we'll break it that aspect down of great players and fantasy and stuff, and we'll be back. Those champs and chumps, T, you set it off. Who's your number one champ of the week and your number one chump of the week?
All right. I need to let you guys know. So my number one champ of the week is the San Francisco 49er defense. Now, remember, I'm the same guy that said that Packers have too much firepower and Packers at home in week one are going to take care of business. And I take my hat off to the 49ers defense. They came to play. Not only do they not have any weakness on the front line with the linebackers in the secondary, but they are tough. They're just mean. I mean, in a clean way, not in a dirty way, but those guys are just hitting. And they are ready, willing, and able to hit you. You come over the middle, they hit you. You want to run, they hit you. You want to go play action, they'll hit you. And they're so fundamentally sound, and they really delivered the goods. You know, if it wasn't for that special teams touchdown, I mean, that's really 30-15. They held the best offense in the NFL at home to 15 points. And this offense is not only is it talented, it's efficient. One knock on Green Bay is they don't run the ball enough. So they're going to have to get some kind of running game together. But having said that, take nothing away from that Niner defense. I mean, they were nothing short of spectacular to go into Green Bay and smack up the Packers. You never for a minute thought that the Packers were going to win that game, and I was pulling for the Packers. I thought the Packers were going to blow them out, but they took control of that game, that San Francisco defense, from minute number one. So those are my champs, and my chump. He's no chump in real life, and he's not a chump if you look at his career, but on Sunday he laid an egg, and that's Michael Vick. Mike Vick, now here's where fantasy football and real football come in a little bit into conflict, because I played in one of my leagues, I played against Vick, and in one of my leagues I played Vick. And Vick did fine in point-wise, right? Vick got you 317 yards and 2 touchdowns, right? So that sounds great. Except for the fact that he threw the ball 56 times and only completed 29 of them.
And way too much.
Of those 56 attempts, 4 were intercepted outright. In the fourth quarter, he could have had 1 and maybe 2 that should have been intercepted again. So he could have had 5 interceptions easily. Now, this is a guy who is getting paid top dollar, although that shouldn't matter. We're talking about strictly performance on the field. This is a guy who is a veteran. He is a proven veteran who's been in that offense, who knows those tools that he has, and he's playing at Cleveland. And with all due respect, if it weren't for playing the Cleveland Browns against 31 other, or I guess it's 30 technically, other NFL teams, he would have lost. So with that performance, 29 for 56, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, he would have lost the game. And not only would he lost the game, he just looked inept. And if we hadn't had the track record of Mike Vick and we didn't know how good he was and potentially how good he can be, when, especially when he's healthy, we'd say, this guy is barely a starting quarterback in the NFL. So for my chump of the week, Michael Vick. But he'll bounce back. I just think that he's got to get his head right. I don't know, take a hot shower or something. Take the day off today, come back tomorrow, and get ready to practice, because that performance, you can't repeat that performance and expect the Philadelphia Eagles to do anything. And, of course, we both predicted the Eagles to win the NFC East and go to the playoffs. So what about you, E? Well, who's your champ and who's your chump this week?
Well, you know, I mean, it's clear to me that, you know, I got to give shout-outs to a couple of other guys, but there's only one for me. It's RG3. Now, I give props to Matt Ryan, who had a great game and touchdowns and passes. Stephen Ridley, over 100 yards, running for Belichick. It looks like he finally got a running back, you know, for the Patriots. But Robert Griffin III, okay, he started off 11 for 11 passing. Now, kudos to Shanahan, Kyle, and his father, Mike Shanahan, because they set the kid up right. You know what I mean? It was like screen passes, little, you know, dump offs, short passes to Gasson, and then he, you know, broke
and
the touchdown for 88 yards.
Too.
Oh yeah, he does. He does. But you know, he's proven. So now it seems like he's got the right toy. But listen, the kid was 19 for 26, 320 yards, 2 TDs, and no interceptions. That's what you want to see. No turnovers. He managed the game. And I don't know if anybody saw, but when he did have to run, when my man turned the corner, the speed was like Olympic, okay? The only cats that can mess with him is your boy Denard Robinson of Michigan, who was crazy against Air Force, and Hussein Bolt. Because he rushed it 10 attempts for about 42 yards. But the one that I'm talking about, he broke it for about 12 yards, his longest run. It was ridiculous.
And they put the game in his hands at the end of the game. They had confidence in him.
He did what he had to do. And it's impressive, you know. I mean, yeah, that, you know, Alfred Morris, you know, had a good running game, so he had some balance, but he threw it everywhere. You know, the guy just he threw it around, and it's one of those things when you you're seeing a star developing before your eyes, that's what's happening when you're seeing Robert Griffin. You know, Garcon got 4 balls. Aldrick Robinson got a touchdown and 4 balls. You got Santana Moss got 3 balls. Fred Davis got 2 balls. So, you know, he threw it around, and, man, very, very impressive. And, you know, there's not much to say, you know, threw a couple of screens, you know, to Hulu. So I like RG3. We'll see, you know, what's going to happen with him in the following weeks. But he is definitely the champ. Now, when we got to talk about
chump,
there was a lot of money spent somewhere, and I fell into believing them that they were going to do something. They drafted Stephon Gilmore. He got eaten alive by Stephen Hill. They signed Mario Williams for ridiculous millions. I don't know if his bonus was $40, $50 million signing bonus, but just a crazy contract. Defensive tackle Mark Anderson from Denver. The Buffalo Bills, their whole team, but the Buffalo Bills defense gets the chump of the week. They went up against Sanchez and the Jet offense that looked inept, and they made Sanchez and the Jets look like Joe Montana to Rice and to John Taylor, okay? So that, my friends, is ridiculous because we know Sanchez.
We know Sanchez.
California kid, he is not Joseph Montana. He's not Joseph Seppi, okay? Let's show some respect for Joe Montana. So he's not Joe Montana. And I like Curly.
Really?
Listen, Curly was exciting. Nice. He caught a couple of balls, the punt return. Curly looked good. We've been waiting for this. We heard Curly was something, and we haven't seen it yet, and now he stepped up. So give him a break.
I was just happy that Stephen Hill caught the ball.
Yeah, he looks good out of Georgia Tech. He blocked down the field for running backs, Sean Green. But it's about the chumps, okay? Mario Williams did nothing. The Bills did nothing. They couldn't stop a nosebleed. It was disgusting. They are definite chumps.
Oh, and then Mario Williams was complaining about the refs. Not calling holding
Oh, gosh. Come on, dude. Nobody wants to hear that. Yes, listen, overall, the refs weren't amazing, but they weren't horrible. They didn't blow, you know, they did call a horrible pass interference against the Saints, against the Redskins game. That, and I'm not a Saint or Redskins fan, but that, you know, sort of helped the Redskins go up 17-7 on a deep pass, and it was a bad pass interference call. But they didn't lose the game for any teams, the refs. So let's not even knock the refs that much. They weren't great, but they didn't lose any games for any teams. But that Buffalo defense did not show up, and neither did the team. The only person that showed up was C.J. Spiller. After Jackson went out, he ran for 166. That's ridiculous. So, you know, when we talk about all these fantasy moves, if you don't have Spiller and if, you know, whatever, or if you do and you drafted him and you got him stored, you're starting him next week and somebody's going to offer you a trade for him because C.J. Spiller is about to be the man for Jackson to be out for 2 or 3 weeks.
C.J. representing Clemson.
Yeah, man. So, you know, those are my champs and chumps. Also, I was disappointed in Trent Richardson and Brandon Wheaton. I think Wheaton could have done a little bit better. That Eagles defense is tough, but the Browns offense looks so inept. They didn't look like, to be honest with you, they didn't look like an NFL offense. And it looks like Cleveland could win 2 or 3 games if they keep that up this year. Even though their defense could keep them in games and they locked down Philly and they're tough, that offense looked rough.
Colt McCoy got a raw deal. Since when did he lose his job? Because it sounds like, from all the reports coming out of Cleveland, that it's not like Brandon Wheaton actually beat him out. For some reason, they just sort of anointed him the starter. And
yeah, they
Colt
gave him
McCoy,
the keys early on in training camp.
Colt McCoy would have been my choice, but that's just me. Let me put something out there and see what you think about this, because I know this hits home. This hits home in your heart because you drafted him. So I would say the honorable mention for champ of the week is the medical marvel known as Adrian Peterson.
Oh, AP. AP is my man.
Yeah, so tell me what you think about that, because I didn't touch him. You know me, I've been burned too many
times.
Well,
you know, I had him last year on my fantasy team, and AP is on my team again this year. I drafted him. Unfortunately, I did not take the chance. I did not play him. That is my error. I goofed. But you best believe he's playing the whole rest of the season. But I did draft him because, like Tal and I talked about in our first show, you know, hey, you don't want to draft guys coming off of, you know, major knee injuries. They usually play better the second year, not their first year back from an ACL or MCL or both. But AP is a medical marvel. They said he was ahead of schedule every step of the way. And I just knew that he'd be okay to pick. I didn't know that this week my man would already get, what, like 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. But you know what? Kudo to the Vikings. Kudo to, you know, Coach Frazier and AP. You are he's going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, we might as well just, you know, you don't like to talk about those words, H-O-F. You know what I'm saying? And we definitely got to segue to Basketball Hall of Fame a little bit and shout out Reggie Miller and Don Nelson and cats. But AP is a future Hall of Famer and a fantasy Hall of Famer for Coach Taylor Made.
Yeah, well, let me use this segue here where we're talking about knees and Hall of Fame to say two things. Number one, that we're officially launching on the Ray and Tay Today Show the 2013 Bernard King to the Hall of Fame campaign. Okay?
All right.
Look up his numbers. If you don't know, if you're too young, look up his numbers. And if you're old enough and you forgot, look up his numbers. And if you haven't voted for him for the Hall of Fame, look up his numbers. Because think about all the players that went down because of a knee injury that still made the Hall of Fame. Namely, there's the Gale Sayers of the world. And there are a bunch of folks that you say, okay, if it weren't for knee injuries, their career would have been better. Take Adrian Peterson, who had a horrific knee injury in January and is back playing, not in training camp, not in the gym, playing 8 months later, right?
Yeah.
Think about Bernard King, who blew out his knee the season he won the scoring title in Sacramento. Shout out to the Kings. Actually, that was Kansas City, I believe. They were still in Kansas City at the time. Blows out his knee trying to block Reggie Theus's shot. Loses close to 2 years.
With a wet Jerry curl, mind you.
What's that?
I said, mind you, he was sticking them, and Reggie Theus had a wet Jerry curl.
Oh, stop. Why you have to go there?
Don't sleep on a wet curl, yo. That
makes probably,
it harder
that
to
probably
sleep
made
somebody.
Him more slippery. Yeah,
you
that's
know what
why
I'm saying?
He came down like that.
And Reggie Theus from UNLV, baby.
So, oh, yeah, the Gerald Patio. Yeah, we need to talk about UNLV on another day. But Bernard King blows out his knee, and it's an ACL tear, and he was one of the old-school knee injuries where it took him close to 2 years to come back. And then he comes back and plays six games with the Knicks, and then the Knicks get rid of him, and that was Patrick Ewing's rookie season, and they shut Ewing down after 50 games because he had some, you know, he had some leg injuries that he eventually worked through himself. But the point is, as a Knicks fan, never got to see Bernard King and Patrick Ewing play together. But
and
Bernard
always
King
haunted me. Always haunted me.
Not only that, but Bernard King, when he came back, was still an All-Star with the Bullets. Now the
oh,
Wizards,
yeah.
but then the
yeah.
Bullets. So he went to Washington, continued his career,
and got busy.
And got
and
busy.
And we were at the game. We were there for his return back to the Garden too.
Bernard King. So that's my second segue. I don't want to belabor this too much, the NBA point, because we're talking basketball here. But I do want to shout out Trent Tucker, our man
Trent.
The ex-Nick who had to go to Chicago and win a title with
yeah,
Michael
Knicks
Jordan,
and Bulls, but he's a Nick
at
heart.
He's a Nick at heart. But I went to a fundraiser, and I just want to shout out on a serious note Trent Tucker and the great work he's doing with two organizations. He has an organization called All for Kids, which helps underprivileged youth in middle school, and he helps them get really acclimated to academics and studying in college. Does really great work for underprivileged kids. And there was another organization called Max Cure, which is searching for a cure for rare pediatric cancer. So I went to a fundraiser yesterday hosted by Trent Tucker. And what was great to see was that, you know, as a sports fan, it's great to see players, and it's always great to see these guys, especially NBA players, because they were all like 6'4 and above, these tall dudes, ex-athletes, staying in great shape. But what warmed my heart more than anything was to see how these guys went out and helped each other, and how Trent Tucker was able to pull a bunch of Knicks and former other players and even Howard Cross, a football player, to really do great work for charitable things. You know, so many times we hear about the athletes and they got arrested and they did this and they did something stupid.
Yeah,
and
the media doesn't show the
positive.
A lot of these guys
are good kids from really backgrounds where sports was an enabler and got them, you know, the riches that they have now. And a lot of them give back. And a lot of them give back to the community and set up foundations like Trent Tucker did. So just a few shout-outs here. So at this event was Trent Tucker and the Knicks were Greg Anthony and John Starks and Johnny Newman and Charles
Woo!
Oakley, Herb Williams, Patrick Ewing.
Patrick
The coach
Ewing.
Of the Knicks, Mike Woodson, who was also a former Knick, number 12 pick, along with our boy from Arkansas. Yeah, Darryl Walker,
number four.
He proceeded to remind me that he and Mike Woodson were both number 12 overall picks in the first round.
And
even
Byron Scott
was
there too, right?
Sure,
Byron Scott was there.
I told him a joke. I said, look, I was a big Norm Nixon fan. And he said, really? Well, good for you. Like, go fly a kite. But then I said, no, for real, I'm a Knicks fan. But you guys are doing great work in L.A. And he really was an unsung hero.
Oh,
that,
yeah, Byron with the defense and the jumper. Yeah.
Mid-80s Lakers.
Showtime,
but anyway, just
yeah.
wanted to shout out to that to Trent Tucker and all the good work he's doing. I think he has a show himself in Minnesota where he talks. He's a big sports fan. I'll tell you what, you know, you think some of these guys don't love sports. Trent Tucker
and
loves
some
sports.
Don't. Some former athletes don't, but
some
it's
don't,
good to
some
see.
Some don't, but he grew up with Carl Banks, you know, from Flint, Michigan. And Carl went to Michigan State and Trent went to Minnesota.
Yeah,
and
so maybe
we
get Trent.
Sports.
Maybe Trent will come on the show one day.
Yeah, he said he'd be happy to. So, yeah, so shout out to all the good work they're doing with All for Kids and Max Cure. And
that's good stuff. I heard your boy Oakley, man. He didn't even remember being on our show, my other show, Hard to Guard Radio, with me and Ricky and Edgar. He forgot about it, huh?
Yeah, Oak's got a lot on his mind. So maybe
yeah,
if he
that's
was there,
right,
maybe if Edgar was there. Because he saw me, and I was talking about the show, and he's like, well, what's this guy doing? I don't know him. But he was nice enough. They all took photos, and they were really nice. And like I said, look, the bottom line is they were there for a good cause, and hopefully they raised money and raised awareness for these two good causes.
That's good. That's what's up. Well, you know what? We'll be right back. We're going to take a little break as we get ready to preview the games tonight, the Monday Night Football, baby. All right, we'll be right back. T-I-M-E. Yes, it's time, y'all. Monday Night Football, T. Break it down for everybody. Let them know what's happening tonight on ESPN.
Yeah, Monday Night Football tonight. So we've got the Cincinnati-Baltimore game at 7. Ooh. And then at 10:15, San Diego at Oakland. Tough games.
You
got to
love
the
NFC. First of all, divisional games. But NFC North football. And then you got the emotion of Art Modell passing away, and they're going to honor him
North,
in a big way,
yeah,
which they deserve. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. The AFC North, Bengals, Ravens. The AFC West is going to be tough, too, but the AFC North games, the hitting is ridiculous. So who you like in this game, T?
Well, so I think the second game is more interesting, San Diego-Oakland. We'll get to that in a sec. Cincinnati-Baltimore, I believe, is going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a good, solid outing from the Bengals. They tend to play the Ravens well. I think that Andy Dalton in his second year is coming into stride. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is a nice, a little bit more dynamic runner than Cedric Benson. I think A.J. Green is a stud. In fact, A.J., I need you. 23 points, man. 23 points in CBS Sportsline scoring. So I need you to put up 23 for me. But in all seriousness, I think that the Bengals are a good team. I just think Baltimore is too tough. You know, I have them winning the AFC North. I think that it's their home debut. I think Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and a few of the aging veterans on that team realize this might be their last run. They were one play away from the Super Bowl last year. I think that the field goal would have tied it, but the catch in the end zone would have definitely put them in. So, yeah, they think that they should have been in that Super Bowl, and that would have been a nice Super Bowl, a repeat of the 2000 Super Bowl when they punched the Giants in the mouth. And if it wasn't for a kickoff return, the Giants would have been scoreless. But the Ravens are just, it's their year, right? It's do or die. I think this is basically Ed Reed's last year with that neck and with coming back, you know, with the
but
contract.
But don't you think they're going to miss Terrell? Don't you think they're going to miss Terrell Suggs, defensive player of the year?
Over a 16-game schedule, they'll miss T. Sizzle for sure. We don't know if and when he's coming back. I had an Achilles, not that I'm a pro athlete, but it's tough. It's tough to come back and perform at that level, especially the first year back. So expect Sizzle to come back maybe mid-season, but I don't know that he'll be the player that he used to be, certainly not this year. It might be next year. So I really think Baltimore is going to do fine. I think ultimately they'll pull away in the second half. I think that Joe Flacco, again, is coming out party this year. I think Ray Rice is locked down. He's got his money. I think he's got Dixon and Pippa, the tight ends, and he's got Torrey Smith to stretch the field. Anquan Boldin is a steady, reliable wide receiver out of Florida State. Oh, I told you I saw him in the airport, right? He was there with his son. His son is really cute. They were flying out of Florida earlier this year. So I believe that the Ravens just have too much. So what's your thoughts before we get on to that late game?
Well, listen, to be honest, I hate the Ravens.
Yeah, but
Courtney,
it's all about
I don't know what he's going to do. They're going to miss Suggs. No, I mean, listen, I'm a diehard Steelers fan. I can't even front. I never root for Baltimore. I think the Ravens will probably beat the Bengals. I just think they have too much. I don't know if it's this is their year, because I'm not sure if I believe in Torrey Smith, and I don't know if their receivers are going to be able to get open enough. I think Anquan Boldin, who I have on one of my money leagues, who I need to do well, he's a great possession receiver, but I don't know if he's got the speed anymore. He could always still catch it in traffic. The tight ends, I'm not in love with Pitta and Dickerson. And Ray Rice is, hey, he's from Rutgers. What else could you say? Ray Rice is the man. That's Reverend Ray Rice to you.
Too,
but he's a beast. But I just I think Baltimore wins this game, like 20-17. But I just don't see them going to the Super Bowl this year. But we'll see. But the one thing I will say is, don't sleep on the Bengals in the sense that defense is tough, and you just don't know what you're going to get from Grisham and Sanu. Mohamed Sanu out of Rutgers, another Rutgers guy in this game, wide receiver for the Bengals. So if anybody else can step up and give A.J. Green help, Dalton, you know, an offensive line holds up, the Bengals might be able to do something. But look for the Ravens to win emotional tonight and win for Art Modell. So let's break down this other game, the Chargers at the Raiders.
The Raiders. Isn't Berman doing the game on ESPN?
He should be.
I think Berman's
Unless
doing
it's
one
Mike
of the games.
Mike,
I think
I'm
he's
not
doing
sure.
The late game. No, Mike and Mike are in studio. I think Berman's doing the late game. In fact, that's why he wasn't doing the blitz this week.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's doing that game. Wow, to hear Chris Berman on the play-by-play, that's great. I think this is a great game. I think the NFC West is great. The AFC West. There's no great team, but they're all really good, and they can all be anywhere from 10-6 to 7-9. I think ultimately the enigma of all enigmas is Darren McFadden. I mean, even in his Arkansas days, when he touched the ball, he's just so dynamic, and he just makes plays and makes things happen. So if he can stay healthy, he could put up a 200-yard game. And if that's the case, then not only will he be making some big plays, but he'll be keeping the ball out of Phil Rivers' hands and limiting the number of possessions that the Chargers have. Now, having said all that, I think that the Chargers still win the game. I think they go into Oakland. I think they pull out a close game. I think ultimately Phillip Rivers is going to have the ball in the second half, and he's going to put up a few touchdowns. I think he's going to go to his main man, Antonio Gates. I think Malcolm Floyd. I think Ronnie Brown is going to be a good pickup for them. I think that offensive line is going to hold it up enough. I think some of the injuries on the defense for the Raiders are going to come back and it'll take him a few games to get full stride. I don't know what happened to Carson Palmer, I got to be honest with you. I mean, usually quarterbacks get better as they get older. And Carson, it seems like ever since he had he's never been the same, but it just didn't affect his arm. It affects his knee. Now, I understand you have to plant and do all that, but I haven't seen a quarterback with the trajectory downward that Carson Palmer's had, I think, ever. I got to look at some stats, but this guy had a great first 3-4 years, and then after that, he's been mediocre at best. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I like the Chargers in a close game.
Well, I got to tell you, I think if Carson cannot, you know, keep away from the turnovers and McFadden has a big game, anything's possible with the Raiders defense, they could sort of maybe pull the upset. But I got to go with the Chargers as well. But I think honestly, it's going to be like a scoring fest. Like 28-24, 28-27, either way, it's going to be high scoring. I think the Chargers will pull it out. But the thing about San Diego is that Phillip is like Manning. He makes wide receivers famous. He made Vincent Brown somebody that people are like, whoa. He made Malcolm Floyd. He can, you know, rejuvenate Patrick Creighton's career. He has got Gates healthy finally. And let's see what he does with Robert Meacham from New Orleans and Eddie Royal from Denver. I bet he turns them into studs. Phillip can just sling it. He can throw it around anywhere. You know, he
and
wants
I think last year he had a bad year. I mean, for Phil Rivers.
Oh,
standard.
Yeah, no, he
I
did because
he
was trying
back.
Too much. But it was too many injuries, T, and he was trying too much. But watch what he does with these receivers. And you got to remember, you know, he's going to turn Royal and Meacham probably into some studs. We'll see what happens with them. But granted, he's lost Sproles. Then this year he lost Tolbert. He's losing his guys. But when Matthews gets back healthy, Ronnie Brown is a solid runner and a good pass protector as a running back. I think Phillip will be able to, you know, he can make every throw. I think he'll be able to you know, lead them and take them where they need to go. I just don't know if they're a playoff team this year. I think they fall a little bit short, you know, with Denver getting first place in that division at 10-6. I think
like
the Chargers
Chiefs,
really.
Right? You like the Chiefs taking that second spot in the AFC West?
Yeah, Chiefs, Chargers. I could see, you know, the Chiefs got smacked up a little bit by the Falcons yesterday, but the Chiefs still, they're good. They're going to be good. McCluster and Charles look good. Peyton Hillis look good. I got another running back that looked okay, but they got some talent. you know, we got about 5 minutes left, and we got to
– Let me make a quick shout-out here to all of our tennis fans.
Well,
and,
yeah, but before we get to that, I want to just tell everybody, you know, to check us out Wednesday the 12th and September, and then Friday, September 14th, we'll be on from 4 to 5 my time, which is Pacific, and 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time. So everybody check us out, you know, and come back to Ray and Tay today. You know, you got to talk sports with your friends. But, you know, listen, obviously I'll let you break down the men's real quick, but I want to just shout out my girl Serena Williams, who has just kept America alive in women's and just tennis alone. What a summer. Her and her sister get the gold in doubles. She wins Wimbledon. She gets the gold in the Olympics. And then she wins the U.S. Open for the fourth time. She's got 15 majors, which is just three behind Martina Navratilova, who's got 18 total majors, I believe. I mean,
yep.
Serena, she's probably the greatest women's tennis player of all time, well on her way to being that, right up there with Steffi Graf and Martina and Chris Evert. But even Chris Evert has said Serena is just no joke, you know, and just
if
just
she
a beast
can stay healthy, then she'll you know, pass Martina's records, because Martina went late into her career. I mean, she was still out there playing doubles, you know, in her 40s. But
right.
Serena's
no, Serena's still young. And you're right, it's been about health that she's missed certain things. And, T, you know, you got to bring everybody up to date with the men's final that's currently still on. It looks like our boy Murray might finally get his major after he won the Olympics, right?
Yeah, off the impressive showing at Wimbledon at the Olympics, not Wimbledon where, you know, he should have represented his country, but he redeemed himself. Now he went.
But he played so hard at Wimbledon. Give the guy credit. I mean,
he did.
He gave his heart and soul.
He had the weight of the country on his back. But now it looks like he might win his first major. They're playing in super windy conditions, and they had a marathon first set tiebreak, but he won it 7-6. He's up 3-0 in the second set. So it looks like Andy Murray right now looks like he might beat Novak Djokovic, who's looked unbeatable on hard court. He put together one of the best, you know, 18 months that a tennis player has put together, Novak. So for Andy Murray to go in and beat him, that's very impressive. And, you know, we always root for the underdog. And Andy Murray is, I think he was runner-up 4 straight times in a Grand Slam. And if he'd lose this, he'd be the first player in tennis history to lose in a Grand Slam final for 5 straight times. So go, Andy, get your Grand Slam, get your U.S.
Man.
Open. And
well,
just one more word about Serena. She did you see how she won? She won that first set 6-2. Second set she lost 2-6. So you figured, all right, all the momentum is with Azarenka. And then Azarenka's up 5-3 in the second in the third set in the final set. And then she goes out and wins 4 straight games. So
that's what's so amazing about her. Her power, but just her – she never
mental.
Gives up.
Yeah,
her
mental
will, her
fortitude.
Mental – yeah. No, it's incredible. It's amazing to see. And, you know, it's nice. We need more Americans in tennis, you know, not that you can't root for people from other countries, because you can. But it's nice, you know, on the men's side, we need our Sampras and McEnroe and Connors and Agassi back. We need, you know, Andy Roddick, you know, Roderick, whatever. He's retiring, whatever. But he never dominated anything for the U.S., so, you know. It'll be nice to have somebody back. So, all right, man. Well, listen, we're headed down the home stretch. It was a good show, and we'll tell everybody, hit us up. You know, shoot us some emails. Wednesday is Where You At Wednesdays. We're going to start, you know, taking emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com or hit us up on our Facebook pages at Ray and Tay Today. And if you
segment,
have any suggestions.
It's a new segment. Where You At Wednesday is a new segment I think you guys will enjoy. It's a head scratcher. We'll be pulling back people that we thought of that were prominent in the sports world and asking a simple question. Where are you at? Where are you?
What are they doing now?
Yeah, so we'll reflect on their career. We'll look back, and then we'll look to what's going on right now. So if you have any ideas or suggestions, hit us up.
Yeah. Listen, it's my birthday, so I'm going to go finish celebrating. I'm going to fade out with some E Complete. Go support your boy's album, True Speaker, at iTunes. at iTunes, catch the Ray and Tay Today podcast, and, you know, feel the flavor, baby. You can please do the remix on my
hey,
boy.
Yo. It's E-Complete.
You know? See you next time.
I'm back up in this TT. My second album. True Speaker. This track right here.
90 cab and
crazy. I'm back.
Truth be told, I took control. Cause I knew Santa Claus couldn't save my soul.
If you had the cards that I had to hold since I was 9 years old, trust me when I tell you, the next year is full. More than just bold. Bullets over Broadway. It went down the Harlem Broadway. Pops were shot. Moms was too. Dad is dead and moms were shot in the head. And now she's home just lounging, just chilling in the bed. Truth is I spit nice and most of y'all from top of my head. Shoot at y'all and I spray all day. I give two F's about to say about May. I'm just here to bring that crazy poetry. Sometimes I got that speak truth attitude. Don't you understand that I'm a little bit rude? Lyrically shrewd, switch up my mood. I used to be the type to steal your honey type of dude. And now I'm working on my bad attitude.